The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Guys, welcome to All the Fails. This is my first podcast in LA. I'm sitting next to somebody who literally makes me cry because I love him so much.
You made me cry.
I love you so much. I care about you so much. I feel like we've been through so much together. We have like had such a journey.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're one of those people that like I really deeply care about. So I'm so happy you're here.
You're not supposed to start like that.
I didn't know I was going to start by crying, but it's also been like, I feel like we've been seeing each other in maybe 3 or 4 years.
It's one of those things where like you're such good friends with somebody and you feel such a connection to them that sometimes you just get lost in like, okay, well, yeah, I can check her Instagram and I see, oh, she's happy and she's doing a thing. And like, oh, I remember, that's a cool spot. And like, you have these fond memories, but sometimes you take a step back and you're like, oh shit, I haven't seen you in
For 3 years. I actually need a Kleenex. It's insane. And when I moved to New York, you know, like I'm not great with attachment. I definitely have attachment issues, but I feel like when I moved to New York, there weren't many people that I sort of like thought about. I also moved around a lot as a kid. I was used to being the new person.
Yeah.
So I left and then I come back to this place where I spent 19 years. And when I see someone like you, who you were such a huge part of that chapter of my life, I like break down because I'm like, oh my God, like.
That's so sweet.
I'm so attached to you. And I don't think I
That's
realize
so sweet.
The depth of it.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, so it's like so amazing to see you. I'm here with David Sullivan. David and I met at Leslie Kahn acting studio. We were in, I don't know, what was it? Like her professional actors night?
Because we had done stuff.
We had worked. Stuff. Guys, we were already very proud.
Yes, we were.
Even though we were still taking acting classes.
Yes.
And we sort of hit it off immediately.
Yeah.
But part of the reason was because I desperately needed you.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I just thought that, oh, here is a really cute girl who is a really good actor. And at that time, when I was first kind of starting out, I didn't think that like pretty girls were good actors. I was just like, oh, well, they're just pretty and like they look good on camera. So like I put them in front of a camera.
We need them to fill the scenery.
Yes. But like you were a pretty girl who was a good actor. And I was like, oh, I got to get to know more about this girl. And then I learned, oh, she's married. Oh, she's a belly. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess we'll just be friends.
But you were in a relationship at the time.
Yes, I was.
A very serious relationship.
Yes.
You were living with somebody.
Yes, I was. It was like my first serious relationship. So I moved to LA and I dated somebody right away for 2 or 3 months and I fell in love. And then she's like an East Coaster and like she has like this aggression and this like spice. And I thought I liked that. But after like 3 months, I was like, I'm from a small town in East Texas. We just don't vibe well.
Right.
So we split. She moved back to the East Coast, calls me, says that she's pregnant. I say, congratulations.
Oh,
she says, no, you have to come tell my parents. And I'm like, huh?
Which is insane because you guys, so to also give you guys some context, David had been in this movie Primer, which fucking won Sundance. This guy, this is like right out. I mean, you were still
right
in Texas.
Yeah, still in Texas. Yeah, we shot this movie.
This
it was $7,000.
Never happens to people.
I didn't know that. I thought that like, oh, you make a movie and you win some prizes
and
then
you
have a career.
Yeah.
You go to Sundance and then you become a movie star. And so I'm like, this business is easy.
So that's why you moved to LA. You had done Primer.
Yeah.
You won Sundance.
Yeah.
And you were in LA.
Yeah. They were like, you have to move out here. Like, this is where your career will be. And I'm like, okay, great. Like, I move out here and I'm like, okay, give me movies.
Yeah.
Where are all my movies?
Give me my movies.
I have to go to an audition and I'm like, I don't know how to do this.
Right.
Because the only movie that I had done, I just met the guy at a coffee shop and we just like read through some stuff.
Yeah. You're like Schwab's drugstore style.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so he was like, well, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing for the next couple of months? And I'm like, I just got laid off. I have some time.
What were you doing?
At the time, I was substitute teaching. Well, I'd worked for a software company right out of college, and I got laid off, and then I was kind of substitute teaching to kind of like figure out what I was going to do next. And I was like, there was like a modeling thing in the local like artist website. It was, I forget what it was called, Eggleston List or something. And so I did a hair thing. They did a hair thing, and the same person was like, hey, there's a movie you should like read for it. I'm like, I don't know what that means. So I had...
Because you never wanted to be an actor.
No. It was, I'd done a play. I'd done like a one-act play in high school. I did like 2 one-act plays where you're on stage for like 10, 12 minutes. And I was like, that's fun. And people liked what I was doing, but it was like, you can't really do that as a profession. Like, that's just what you do for fun at like church or at school or whatever. So No, I was in the software business, and then I was going to be like, then I started a job. I was working for AT&T Wireless, like in their outside sales division. But in between the two, I was substitute teaching, and I mailed in, I had a friend take my picture, and I mailed in a headshot to be like, okay, yeah, I'll try out for this movie. And I met the guy, and he was like, can we meet again tomorrow and read some more stuff? And I was like, yeah, sure. So basically just kind of reading a few scenes from the script out loud. And he had written, and he was like, I'm going to direct it. And he's like, do you know anything about filmmaking? And I'm like, no.
But
I was like, well, I have some friends who might be able to help. So the few friends that I had, I was like, hey, can you guys kind of help us shoot this movie for the next month? And like, you're shooting a movie? And I'm like, yeah, I got to go pick up this camera.
I guess I'm
package.
An actor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I did well enough. And I didn't find this out. This asshole. I didn't find out until Sundance, like 2 years later, that he had auditioned over 100 actors. And he was like, and then when I met you, I was like, you had to be the guy. He says this on stage in a Q&A. And I'm like, why didn't you tell me that?
Yeah, I needed that.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because the whole time I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Right.
I don't know if I'm good. Was that good?
But you're so natural. That's the thing. Yeah,
my naturality or my, like, it fit perfect for that movie.
Because
the movie was very fantastic. The movie's about, like, it's a low-budget time travel movie. Basically, these guys who are friends, they work in a garage. They try to create, like, the next big thing. They realize this machine can kind of manipulate, like, mass or weight. And then they're like, wait, if we keep tinkering with it, maybe it can do something else. And then they figure out that, oh, this manipulates time. And so, like, the four of us kind of become the two of us because we don't want the other two to know about it. And we figure out that, like, oh, we can get into this box and go back for as long as the machine's been turned on. So if you turn the machine on 8 a.m. and you keep it on till 5 p.m., you can get in it at 5 and go all the way back to 8 a.m. So then it was like, oh, maybe we can do it longer. So it's just, we made this movie. Basically, it was $7,000, and Shane and I.
$7,000.
I know. Well, at the time, I'm just like, okay.
What can I fund for $7,000 that can win Sundance?
Yeah, right. Well, Desperado, I think, or El Mariachi, Robert Rodriguez did for $7,000. And it was like, all right, well, yeah, that's our budget. So he was like, all right, well, you know, do what you can to like get a camera package. And I was like, all right. And I went and we got this janky camera package and this dolly. And I was like, well, we don't really have any money, but we'll put your name in the credits. And they're like, okay. And this was in Dallas. So people were like, oh, are you shooting a movie here? This is cool. And like the film stock we used was like, I would call like the Kodak in Orlando and I'd be like, we're interested in this
film.
You're
like, I'm in software sales, but now I'm an actor.
Yes, exactly. I'm an actor.
Hilarious.
And like, yes. And I'll use your name in the credits. And that was like that was currency. And so we got a bunch of free stuff to make this movie. And then, it took us like a month to shoot. We were shooting like at my brother's office, my friend's houses, his parents' house, and basically just night and day shooting. And
did you love it right away? Did you know this is what I'm supposed to do?
I loved my first day and my last day. I think during the shoot, it was very stressful because it was all of our first time to do anything like this. And the director was just very like, very controlling, which I thought that, oh, that I have to do everything he tells me to do. So I was kind of scared. I was scared a lot of times, kind of walking on eggshells. Like I was nervous. I was nervous, but I whenever I knew that it was time to for act, because I was also like, I would hold the boom, or I would push the dolly, or we had this like little practical light that we had on a pole. And I would, like, if I weren't in the scene, I was doing all this other stuff. So, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, I hope I don't screw this up. But then when it came to like the scene work and I was in the scene with him or whoever, I was like, you said you're very natural. Like, I think there is something about like, now it's time for me to just tell a story. And now it's time for me to just sit with this person.
That's innate to you.
I guess so.
Like, does your mom say, oh yeah, I always knew that you would do this?
She knew that I would entertain. I was an athlete growing up, but like I was a pretty good athlete, but I wasn't great. But I always wanted to do something to make sure people were having a good time. So like I would have a wide open layup.
Yes, for sure.
Yes. I'd throw a behind the back pass and like throw it clear out of bounds.
Yeah.
But it was like, oh, but it was supposed to be a good pass. Or like in football, like I would dive across the end zone, do a flip.
Okay.
Like, I was doing it for the crowd. So it was always like I wanted to make sure that people around me were having a good time.
Uh-huh.
And so the first movie was a little nerve-wracking because there was only like five of us.
Right.
And everybody was stressed out. So I was like, well, I mean, we need to find a way to kind of have fun here. But Yeah, I didn't know I was going to win Sundance, obviously. You think that, like, oh, I'm shooting this movie and maybe we can project it on the side of a building, you know, downtown at a festival and people would think you're cool. And so when I finished the movie.
Maybe I'll get to make a movie for 10 grand.
Yeah, exactly. We'll up the budget 50%. Yeah. But even then, I didn't think that I was an actor. I just thought that, like, oh, I'm pretty good at this, but I can't really make a living because he didn't even pay me.
Yeah.
He was like, this is all going to be deferred payment. And like, you're a 20% owner of the film. And I'm like, okay, cool. So if we make 10 grand, then I make some money.
Right.
The film actually went on to make a lot of money. And
which is amazing.
The handshake agreement that we had was just that, a handshake. So I didn't sign any paperwork.
Did you make money off it?
No, I didn't.
He never gave you any?
He did.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
I know.
That's really fucked up.
He's in some trouble now. Like he went on to make another movie and then he stalked his girlfriend for a while and he ended up in jail.
Yikes.
I think he may be out now, but he's a brilliant filmmaker. But yeah, he's got some demons.
Ugh.
He's got some demons. Yeah. Yeah.
So you moved to LA, you get this girl pregnant. You don't even know about it.
Yeah.
She's now in Boston.
Yes. Yeah.
And you fly back to meet the parents to tell
them. Yeah. Well,
what's going through your head?
I was like, well, okay, what are my options here? We barely know each other. Like when we first met each other, like there was a spark. Like I fell in love with this girl and like, I'm like, okay, well this is meant to happen. Like, okay, I need to go back. I meet her family and like, you know, her dad is like this Italian Catholic. Hey, when are you going to make this right, kid? When are you going to make this right? And I'm just like,
oh, yikes.
We broke up. Like, I don't know. So it was tough. It was around Christmas. I was there for about a week and it was really tough. And she didn't think that I was really going to fly back to LA. She was like, I'm pregnant. You're not leaving. And I'm
she was like, I'm having the baby.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There was never any
question. I was
of
like adoption. Like, how do you
abortion?
Feel about it? Yeah. 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 And it was not. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Interesting.
Yeah. So in my mind, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll move back here and I'll go back and forth. Because like I guess my son is gonna be here. So I came back her last trimester for like 3 months and we tried. We really tried.
Were you just like what the fuck?
Yes. Yes.
Like was this your lowest moment?
It was really hard for me because like
your life had just started.
Yeah, just started. I just moved.
How old were you?
I was older. I didn't move to LA till I was like 28, 29.
Okay.
So I was older, but like I wanted to get my career going.
Of course.
And I said, well, I guess my life is shifting a little bit. Maybe I'm not supposed to be doing this. Maybe I am supposed to be, you know, I'm supposed to work this out and be a father. And like, I love my family. I love my dad. I love my brothers and his kids. And like, I want to be a father.
Yeah.
So I'll figure it out. So yeah, I moved back and I was working construction like during the day. And I was waiting tables at night because I didn't have insurance. And I was like trying to make all this money to make sure that like, okay, I'm going to be a family guy now. Like I'm a dad. But at night, like me and his mom were just like butting heads. And I was like, I don't think this is going to work.
No.
So we ended up getting counseling while I was there for a few months. And I specifically remember this counselor. He was like, all right, David, here's like two note cards. Like this is Lauren and this is you, or three note cards. And this is the baby. Like, how do you see this working out? And I'm like, all right, well, I have these two note cards here. And I'm like, I just, you know, come back and forth once a month and stay for a week or two. And he was like, how do you think Lauren sees this? And I grabbed the two note cards and I put it right on top of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm doing this. And I'm like, I feel like I don't have my own autonomy. Like, I feel like they're just on my back now. And it's like a huge responsibility that I'm not quite ready for. And so, when I ended up coming back, it was a big fight because she didn't think I was actually going to, she was like, I didn't think you'd actually come back after you saw the birth of your son. And I'm like, yeah, but I have an episode of Big Love I have to shoot. So like I shot an episode of a TV show and then I was like, all right, I started making plans to like go back to Boston. And she says that she's coming to LA for a little while. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And I go to pick her up at the airport and she's got these two carry-ons and our baby. And I'm like, how long are you staying? She's like, I don't know. And I'm like, okay, where are you staying? She's like, well, we're staying with you. And I'm like, I'm in a studio. Like,
oh,
I don't have room for me. I'm in a fold out futon. Like,
wow.
I don't. So that was a huge, I mean, obviously having a kid was a big wake up call, but like also seeing that, oh, I have to do something. So wow. Yeah, they were staying with me for a while, and it was still, I don't think we were ready to admit that we weren't going to be together.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we were ready.
Yeah.
And they just got really hostile, and like, she would sometimes just leave him with me, even though I had to go wait tables that night. And I'm like, hey, wow. You can't.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was very stressful. And feeling.
Having a baby with somebody you are married to and in love with is fucking stressful. Yeah. And you end up hating them.
Yeah, exactly.
So I cannot even imagine. Oh. And being in my 20s like on the precipice of starting my career.
Yes.
The resentment I would fucking have. Oh God.
It was awful. And like, even when we did have a certain plan, like she would be like, oh, well, I can't because I have to do this. And I'm like,
wow.
Well, how am I gonna?
Yeah.
So I think even like your first year, maybe 6 months of knowing me, I don't even know did you know I had a kid, or was it that was it was probably a little bit late? Okay.
Because I met Kane right away.
That's right. My first year in class, nobody knew I had a kid because I was embarrassed. Oh. I was embarrassed that I was a single father who like wasn't married to his mother and what was out here like pursuing this dream and not like taking care of his kid. And so like,
but they stayed in LA. She got a job bartending. Yeah, she stayed in LA.
Yeah. She stayed in LA. We lived together in like a one bedroom apartment for a little while. We stayed in my place, and then we got a one bedroom. Her brother moved out, so we got a one bedroom. She stayed in the bedroom. I stayed in the living room. And then like the cops got called. It was she flipped a bowl of cereal up in my face because I was eating it too loud. And it's just like, how did I get? So, we eventually just had an honest, non-emotional conversation. It was like, look, I want to raise this kid. This is my kid. I want to be in his life as much as I can, as much as you'll allow me to, but we can't be together. Like this just doesn't work. I think we both know that. I think we both wanted something different, but it's not different.
Right.
So I said, look, you want to do week on, week off? You want to do half the week? Like, how do we want to do this? So we kind of agreed on half the week.
Uh-huh.
So she would have him like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. I would have him like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And then we'd alternate Sundays.
Uh-huh.
So like on the weekends, I would disappear. I wouldn't hang out with anybody because I'm like, I'm with my kid. So during the week, I was like, yeah, let's hang out. Let's party.
Yeah.
So yeah, after the first like year of that, a lot of people didn't know I had a kid. I would just disappear for 3 days. Because of the embarrassment. And then, everybody wanted to rehearse because I'd started getting good at acting and teaching, coaching. And I'm like, I'm pretty good at this. And so people wanted me to come to their rehearsal. People would have their own little private rehearsals.
Yes.
So people want me to come to their rehearsals. And I'm like, can I bring a little pack and play? And like, can I maybe put him, do you have like a quiet room where I can put my son? You have a son?
Right.
And I'm like, I have a son. And his bedtime is, you know, at 7:45. So.
But you were so responsible. You were already the thing about David that I feel like, I don't know if everybody knows this because they probably just see you on TV, but you're so humble.
Oh.
And like nothing is... You are never like, oh, I'm above that. Mm. You will do anything.
I will.
And you have done anything.
Yeah.
Like, you worked so hard to get to where you are. The countless hours of you coaching. The fact that, like, this is David. Like, he would coach other guys on roles that he was fucking up for. Like, that is, like, beyond anything that I don't have the ego strength for that shit.
Yeah, I think I just realized early on that I was really lucky to be in this business. And so, like, because I was so lucky and because I was so, like, I didn't think that I had anything special. I was just like, all right, well, I'm me. And if they want me, then they'll hire me. And if they don't want me, then it would be awesome if they hired one of my friends because then I could say, I coached him for that. And I would have like a sense of ownership. And I'm like, I'm a part of that victory. And so like anytime, especially like, you know, when you first start out in acting, like you want this community and you want people to like you.
Right.
And you want to feel like you're part of this like creative world where I still felt like I was on the outside of. I was an athlete. I was a business guy.
Yeah.
I didn't go to drama school. So I still kind of felt like I kind of want what you have. Like I want that. Like I want to sit and read like Shakespeare with you. I don't want to do that. But like, I want to do that.
Right.
You know, so like. When I had the opportunity to like hang out with you for long periods of time and like you were auditioning like crazy.
Okay. So yeah. So basically, so David,
you wanted to get into
that. I do. So David basically, okay, met David in acting class, immediately knew that he was a good actor. But more than that, I was like, oh shit, he's a fucking amazing director.
Mm.
Like The actor, yes, I'm psyched for him that he's a great actor. But like, how does this help Jenny? Well, he happened to be an amazing director. And I was like, I need him to coach me. Mm-hmm. But I actually need him to coach me like 24/7.
Yes.
So Jason was out of town shooting a movie in, I don't know, Seattle.
I had just gone through a breakup too.
Okay. So, yeah. David was dating a girl that I don't like and she treated him like shit. Yeah. And again, like she was sort of famous and he was like the most supportive boyfriend of all time. Yeah. Just like so.
Yeah. It was hard. It was hard because
like, you were heartbroken.
I was. And we were both chasing the same thing. And she got it before me. And she had like immediate success right away.
And I'll never forget. She's like, you need to be more successful for me. And it kills me. But like, you know, Zach Braff once told me that story.
Oh, really?
A similar story where he was working at La Colonial. And he's like, and my girlfriend broke up with me. And this was once he had Scrubs. He's like, and I remember my girlfriend broke up with me because like she didn't think I was like successful enough. And I'm like, I love a burn like that. I love when it turns.
Yeah.
And it's so like every time I see you doing something amazing, I always think back to her saying like, sorry, you're not where I'm at. And it just makes me so fucking happy to think about like her seeing it.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. I know she sees it. Like, I ran into her a couple times and it was like at certain events and stuff. And she was always really surprised to see me. And it felt good. Like
it feels so good for me too. I need to gloat. So David was living at her house.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she kicks David out.
Yeah.
And Jason at the same time was in Seattle shooting this movie. So I was like, come live with me.
Yeah.
Jason's like, wait, you moved your acting coach into our house while I was out of town. And then I'll never forget, this was the summer his sister was out and she calls him and she's like, Jay, there's a guy wearing your bathrobe and he's jump roping by the swimming pool. Jason's like, oh, fucking Jenny. But yeah, David became sort of my ersatz spouse during that summer.
Yes, yes.
And like, guys, like David, you never like tried to do anything with me. You never hit on me once.
It was very tempting. And
it's really upsetting, actually. Yeah. Now that I'm like, I'm sort of offended.
I thought about that a lot because like when I've only told a handful of people the story because like so often people are like, what?
Yeah.
You moved in with a married woman? Like and a married hot woman? Like, what are you doing? Are you trying to ruin their marriage? And I think for me, like, that's kind of when I learned like what a boundary was. And I had set in my mind, I was like, too bad that she's married, because if she weren't married, it would be because in my mind, I was like, okay, well, that's a boundary. Like, you're married. I would never, like, compromise.
He never even hit on me once, guys, ever.
I just loved being around you so much.
And we were so laser-focused on what we were trying to do.
Like, anytime you would get an email and be like, oh, I got another audition. I was like, okay, let's get it. Let's go print it out. Let's work on it.
Yeah.
Like, even if you didn't have auditions.
So fucking supportive. The fact, you guys, I would never, I don't care when Jason gets an audition. Yeah. Like, I've never been that supportive of another actor in my life.
Yeah, yeah. I think just still feeling like I'm a... Because I would do guest spots and stuff, but like still wanting that feeling of like, I'm part of this like acting community. Like I'm part of these like creatives. Like you were so smart and you did so well in school and you were such a good actor and you had like all this success. And I'm like, yeah. Like I like feeling like I'm part of this.
But you could tell when I was fucking up. You could tell when I was phoning it in. You could call me out and I needed that.
Yeah.
You made me so much better.
That's very kind. I think I just saw you and sometimes I was scared to like say like, Jenny,
that sucks. Yeah, do it
like,
again.
Yeah, yeah. You don't need to do that.
Yeah, like, you're pushing. Yeah, stop pushing.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be good and just be good.
Yeah. It was, but you made it very easy for me because like you were very vulnerable in your acting. Like you were very vulnerable in how you received my notes or like whatever, my instruction, whatever you want to call it. But like you would listen and like we would find a way to like find cool stuff together. And again, that made me feel like I was a part of it. And like when you would test for all these things and book these things, I'd be like, yes.
But maybe we were too focused on the work that you never had a chance to actually hit on me.
That's what it was. It was all about the work.
No, but we have to tell them the suits story because that was really like, we thought that I was getting the Meghan Markle roll on suits. Yeah.
That was that role?
David. Have I never told you the story? Yeah.
No.
So I tested that for role. Suits. David was like right there. David was like at the audition. It was me against Courtney Ford. Remember Brandon Routh's wife?
Yeah.
It's like, I got this. She got Dexter. Like, I'm going to get this one. Mm-hmm. And I went in and I crushed it. And I was like, yeah, we got it. We got it, David. And then Jason's manager at the time called me and was like, Jenny, they need to recast. They need to fully like start over. After I signed the fucking contract. So I always say to Jason, I'm like, I could have been a princess. And then Jason replies by going, Jenny, we were married when you auditioned for Suits. I was like, doesn't matter. Got Suits became a princess. Yes,
exactly.
That was part of the gig.
Could have been my journey.
It was
Jason.
My journey.
I did not know that was Suits. Now that you're saying that, I'm like, oh my God, that's
it was
right.
Suits. And remember, we're like, who cares? Wow. It's just some show in Canada. There's going to be so many more this year.
Yep, that's exactly right.
No one will
right.
ever know that girl's name.
Yeah, that was always like my point of view whenever you didn't get some. Like, oh, wasn't your thing. That's that person. That's
who cares?
Them. We're getting something else.
Like, yes.
Whoa, that's wild.
But we spent every single day together. Yeah. And honestly, this is the other thing. This was the time when I was getting off Zoloft and I became convinced that Ricky Blitt, my neighbor, was a murderer. I watched Rear Window too many times. Mm-hmm. So even when David wouldn't want to sleep over, I'd call him. I'd be like, David, you have to come back to the house.
Your couch was great.
So like, even though he tried to like escape me, I had like my talons in him.
Yeah. And for me too, like it was always like, no, I'm protecting her. Like, she's scared. Like, when the thoughts...
Were your friends like, why is she calling you?
Yeah, the thought in my mind would creep
everyone
in.
Everyone must have thought we were fucking. Did everyone ask you?
They were like, David, come on, tell the truth. And I'm like, dude, I really like her, but like, no, she's married. No, it doesn't matter. Like, she's gone. Like, what? That's not your responsibility.
She has
like,
you sleeping in their house.
Yeah, what are you... And she's calling you in the middle of the night. Like, what are you... No, I really care about her, and I think she's onto something here, and I think that, like... She's
we were
get,
really
yeah,
bonded. We had really, like a weird
and you were introducing
bond.
Me to, and you had like this crazy movie theater in your house, and like you had access to every movie. And it was like, what movie are you watching tonight? Like, what? So like, and for me too, I felt like I was getting my education, like my film history background, because you had this vast knowledge of these movies that I didn't have.
That's
and
so
I was like,
funny.
Oh, I'm learning so much from you. And like, okay, why is this shot better than that shot? And like, why, how does this movie build suspense better than that movie? And like, why is this movie so important to you? Because like, for a big part of my adolescence, my upbringing, I didn't have a TV. I mean, that's a completely different story. My dad thought a TV was a waste of time, so he put it up in the attic. My mom snuck up there one day to watch like her stories one afternoon, and she fell through the attic.
Oh my God.
So there's a big hole in our ceiling for a long time, reminding us that like, not only is a TV a waste of time, but it's bad for your health. So like,
my God.
So TV, so I didn't watch many movies growing up, but like having that like camaraderie and like the intimacy with you, and also like intimacy to me, it was kind of foreign, but like having a safe intimacy, like
I
felt like because I had just broken up with somebody, and I felt how much you cared for me, and I hope you knew how much I cared for you, and it was very special to me.
Yes,
and I didn't want to compromise that. You know, there were times where we could watch a movie, and in my mind, I was like, if I just kind of move my hand over there and like touch her leg, like it's innocent. But I'm like, David, don't, what are you doing? Don't do that. You're going to ruin everything.
That's so funny. Okay, thank God. I really was like, are you kidding? But no, I did set you up with Jason's ex-girlfriend though.
Yeah.
I've set you up many times.
You've set me up quite a few times. And you, the cool thing is, And then I go
on the date with you.
Yes,
because I'm not attached.
Yes. You kind of know what I like, which is cool. But then, like, you feel, well, since I'm a part of this, I need to be a part of this.
No,
I need to
like,
be
like, I'm
there.
Not as good as David, where he's like, I coached her. That was the win for me. I'm like, I got him the date. Well, obviously, I'm going.
Yeah, I
got
to see how everything folds, you know, how it all turns out. I mean, I met some really cool people because of you. And you
had a couple of relationships, actually.
I did. And they were good. And they were just... They were good timing. They were like good. Everything kind of worked out. And then I don't know. I'm not great at long-term relationships, I think, because my first two weren't great. Like,
what do you think that is?
Well, I think because of me having a child with a woman that I was scared of. But feeling like it was my responsibility to take it on. I think there's a little bit of fear of responsibility that if I do have this girlfriend, then she's going to need me for everything. And I'm going to have to, and when I don't book that show or when I don't get this, then I'm a failure. Combined with my other girlfriend who was like, you're not famous enough. Like, you're not working enough. Like, I need you to be better. And I'm just like, I'm doing the best. Like, so
David, I was perfect for you. I was a married woman with a famous husband.
Yes.
It was like all the things you need.
Why did we not have this conversation?
I don't know. I was perfect.
Oh, gosh.
No responsibility. You didn't have to take care of me.
Oh, gosh. Oh, you're right. You're right.
No, but like, do you think that you have a fear of intimacy and like from like childhood? Do you think that's a childhood thing? I mean,
Yeah. You had talked about getting molested. I got molested as a kid. And I don't tell many people that, which is kind of surprising that I just threw it out there like that. I think because like
we can cut it if you don't.
Well, no,
want
it's
to.
Okay. I think there's a stigma attached to that.
Yeah.
Like it's dirty and like it's hits close because like at the time I felt I was like 11 and I felt dirty because like I knew what was happening and I didn't have the ball. I didn't have the courage to run.
Right.
I didn't have the courage to get out of the situation. And then like money started getting involved and I didn't have any money and I was like, all right. Well, I guess $20. Like, so like in a weird way, I knew what was happening and I allowed it to happen. And with the money, I bought my parents a new refrigerator. So like I was justifying like, oh, this is okay. Like buying the refrigerator was like, oh, this is okay what you're doing. Yeah. But then like, as I got into like 14, 15 and like more into girls and I'm just like, no, no. And you actually, I don't know if you remember this, but like you actually encouraged me to confront him. And that scared the shit out of me because like I didn't think that that could happen. I thought that this was just, I was damaged and that like I have this thing that will always be a part of who I am. And you made it seem very simple. And you were just like, no, you have to go do it. And I have a friend who like did the exact same thing. And like it shifted his whole perspective on who he is. And, and I was like, okay, well, if Jenny thinks I can do it, then I can do it. And it was that, it was maybe a couple months later, I'd gone home for the holidays and it was Thanksgiving night. And I was like, fuck it, I just got to do it. That I need to write about that. That was a weird night. It was like 2.5 hours away from where my brother lived. And I was like, hey, I need to borrow your car. And he's like, yeah, cool. And I was gone for like 5 hours and he was like calling me, but I was in the middle of nowhere. So there was no cell service. And he has a weird thing. I found him on like the Predator's website, the sexual Predator's website. And I go to the middle of nowhere and I go down the stand. I look, I have no cell service. It's like a horror movie. And I have my shotgun or my brother's shotgun in the back, in his truck, in the back of his truck. And I'm like, oh, I'm fine. I never really shot a shotgun before, but I'm like, I'm in Texas.
You're like in a movie.
Yeah. And so I don't know if he lives there. I don't know if he lives there with people. And at this point, he's probably in his 80s, 70, late 80s, mid 80s. And I just go and knock on the door at 8 o'clock at night on Thanksgiving and down a dirt road. And this older couple opened the door and I'm like, oh, hey, I'm sorry. I have it was my dad's best friend.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, you know, my dad passed away a few years ago. And I don't know if Billy knows about this, but does Billy live here by chance? And they're like, oh, yeah, he's in the back. And I'm like, oh, okay. And they walk me like through the, have I told you this story?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, it was just so fucking bizarre. So I walk through their house and I think it's their back door and it's not. They unlock it and it's a door to another house and go through a kitchen and there's a naked man in his 40s coloring, like just like coloring in a coloring book. And I'm like, oh, hey. And he's like, hi. And I'm like, what? And I'm like, is he, he's the third door to the right. And I'm like, huh? So I go back there and like I had this 30-minute confrontation with the guy and he just kind of he denied it and he was like, no, it was a long time ago. I was on a lot of medication. I don't think that would have happened. I loved you and didn't know we were gonna get in this, but yeah, I said what I needed to say and I left there and I said, you know, he asked for a hug and I was like, fuck you.
Yeah.
And that was one of the first times I think where I really said that and like meant it. Like, I don't really hate many people, but like, and you were right. Like it
did
just
it
opened
like set you free in a way.
So much, so much. It just, I, at that point I felt like I was on a path to redemption or I was on a path to success or like, and I kind of got out of my mind, like, well, you're not where you need to be yet. You're not where you need to be yet. I'm like, I'm not supposed to be there yet.
Yeah.
Like, this is just my journey. Like,
it's hero's journey. Yeah.
I'm loving this journey so much that maybe I don't become the A-list celebrity, but damn, I've had a great time chasing it. Like, I've had so much fun going to these auditions and working with all these beautiful actors and making these movies. And I can't imagine my life being any other way. Like, it's just been such a fun journey.
So when you drove home that night, I remember telling you, like I said, you have to do it because if your dad would want you to do it.
Mm.
And I've said, like, if your dad knew, which he didn't before he died, it's like, if that were your son, you would fucking, you know? And I said, like, you have to do it for the child that you were.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go protect that kid.
That's exactly what stuck with me. And the reason, and I think I told you the reason I didn't do it, because I thought my dad would kill him. Mm-hmm. And I thought my dad would spend time in prison. So I was like, my dad can never know. And so once my dad passed away, I really had no excuse.
Yeah.
And my son was about the same age that I was when it started. So I was like, oh, I was a kid. I was a child. And like, I had like, in my mind, I was like, but David, you knew what you were doing. No, you didn't.
No, you don't.
Like, you imagine your son, like, it started like, because my dad had taught me how to drive at a young age because, you know, I lived in a small town and it was cool to like drive. And so I would sit on his lap and like he would teach me how to work the pedals and stuff. And he knew that. My dad's friend knew that. And so like that's how it first started. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would sit in his lap and then I was like, I was trapped.
Right.
But yeah, it was, I couldn't have done that by myself. I didn't have the strength. And you were the only person that told me that I needed to do that. And I was so scared. And I felt like it was so important. And thank God.
Oh my God.
Thank God
you did it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just, it just gave me this new outlook on life. Like, oh yeah, you're good, bud.
Totally.
Like
you had come so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had been through the belly of the whale. You were at this was like that final confrontation, I think, that you needed to have.
And I didn't know that it was still affecting me. I didn't know that, like, that stuff that happened for, you know, a couple of years when I was a child, like, still affected me. I was like, oh, no, I'm good. Just keep helping other people, like, keep, you know, treat other people the way you want to be treated and, like, you know, establish a community and, like, you're good. But, like, yeah, I think, like, being close to people. And I think, too, that's why it was easy to be close to you, because I felt safe with you. And the fact that you were married, I felt like that would never be compromised. Like that there was already like a built-in wall there. Like, no matter how close I felt to you, like that was never going to be like crossed. And that was so comforting for me. And, and you were just so sweet to me. And you validated so much of like so many of the things that I thought that I was good at, but I wasn't sure. And you made me feel good about being good at these things.
Yes,
and
you're so good. You're so fucking good. And now when I watch you on Netflix or wherever I see you, I'm like, I told you he was so fucking good.
Yeah,
it does feel like the way I get about my kids. Like, I'm just so proud.
Well, you should be. You had a big hand in that. I mean, a big hand in that. And it was such a weird place in my life because I thought I was going to be with this girl, and I was like, what am I going to do? Like,
And you hustled. You had so many jobs.
Yeah. I was just working so hard.
When did you finally go? When did you, you know, move out from roommates and go, oh, I can support myself now fully acting. I don't need to like work.
I still feel that way. I still feel like I can't. I still feel like at any moment it's going to go away. I still have that fear. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I got flaked, the money wasn't what I thought. Like I would get more for a TV, like a guest spot on a, you know, network show than I got when I got flaked. I'm like, wait, what's that? And this was right at the beginning of streaming. So it was like, okay, I know what streaming is. People are going to watch these things on their phone. And like, if they have Netflix, like and so the money just wasn't there. The money was there, but we as actors didn't know it was there.
Someone else has
it. Yeah, exactly. So like you know, I did a first season of that and it was terrible money. And then second season was a little bit better. But yeah, I think it was probably when we got this second season pickup. That's maybe.
When did you start wearing Rolexes?
Yeah, just I put my hand below that because it was a good deal. I feel like it was like second season. And I was like, I'm good at this and people are taking note and people are going to continue to pay me to do this.
Yeah.
But I still feel, I mean, every day, I still feel like, because right now, I mean, I'm unemployed again. So it's like, yeah, I've just got off a show and like there's maybe a second season.
Exactly.
I don't know if there's going to be a second season. I don't know what my role is going to be. Like, I had a cool role in the first season. Yeah, I have a few movies coming out, but like those movies are done. And like, is anybody going to see the
movies? Every actor, I think people like don't understand that it's like every actor, no matter where you are on that Ferris wheel, when you're not working, you feel like shit.
Yes. Yes. When does that go away?
It doesn't. Like, that's why I got out of acting.
Yeah. I mean, you were so smart. That. You were so smart.
I like, wanted control over my life.
I just don't think that I'm that great at anything else. Like I bought
you're
some land.
You're too good to not do it. You are too good to not do it.
Thank you. I do love it. I do love it.
You're so good.
Like I once I do all that work and I know I'm shooting tomorrow, like I can't wait to get on set. You know?
Yes.
I can't wait to like work across an actor and like, sometimes I find myself watching the actor and I'm like, what are you doing? You're anticipating. Like, why are you? Yeah. What?
You're like, I'm indicating. Just being generous. Yeah, I want to give them my full attention.
Yeah. Let's just have this. But sometimes the teacher brain comes in. I'm like, huh, you shouldn't have done that. You know,
That's still hilarious.
I still sometimes I'm like, dude, no, you're not teaching him. Yes, exactly. You're a different person right now. But yeah, it's, I love it. And I look for the next opportunity to do it. Anytime I get an audition, it's like, sometimes I get an audition, I don't feel like I'm right for it. I'm like, oh, God. But David, it's good practice. Just go practice.
Oh my
just
God.
Get
you
better
are
today.
So good. Jason's like, I'm not going
oh,
in
God.
On this.
I wish I was a little bit better at that. I wish I could do that. But it's just me still feeling like I don't deserve to be here. So like any opportunity that I have,
oh my God.
I need to dedicate myself to this thing. And like, I'm going to get better. And it's also the athlete mentality,
but that's,
too.
Oh, it is. You're an athlete. That's so true.
Yeah.
You are used to training.
Yeah, totally.
And you never stop training. Yeah, that's why you're always getting better.
Yes. And I'm always like, I'm 5'10". I'm like 5'10", 180. Like, I don't have the body to be a good athlete. But I had the body and the work ethic and the mentality in high school to be okay.
Yes.
So I played like 5 sports in high school. And like, I was good enough in a small town to be okay. But like, that stuck with me. Like, dude, you just got to keep putting in the work.
Uh-huh.
Got to keep putting in the work. And like, especially when you love the work, it doesn't feel like work.
It doesn't feel like work.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's fun when you find a role or when you get an opportunity to audition for something that you really like. But it sucks because like, as soon as you tape it, it's gone.
Yeah.
Like, man, I really like that one.
I know. And it's like, it's so ephemeral.
Yeah.
Like, it's not things you can hold on to.
Yeah. And then you're just like looking forward to the next one. And then it'll be days and weeks and months. Do you get the next one? You're like, am I done?
Yeah. Is it over?
Like, yes. Do people not know who I am anymore?
I've been blackballed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. What did I do? Who did I say? Well, I must have said something to somebody that
it was that damn actress.
Oh, gosh. Oh, God. It the fear, I don't know if that will ever go away. Maybe if I'm like on season 5 of a TV
show. You'll feel safe.
Yeah.
Is that what you want, a TV show over everything?
It's
what
weird.
Is your goal?
I think about that a lot. I like the idea of doing like 2 or 3 big movies a year, but I don't, and then going back to the land and like getting on a tractor and like, you know, developing stuff and getting back to Texas. But like, I also like the idea of like being on a comedy with my friends and maybe a 30-minute sitcom where you go in, you have a read through on Monday, then a studio walkthrough on Tuesday. Then
the David coaches everybody throughout the week.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I love that. Hey, can we run this real quick? I do find myself
that
doing that.
That could be bigger.
Yeah, I do find myself doing that on set. I just did an episode of Good Doctor. I was up in Vancouver and I had a scene with Richard Schiff, one of the most brilliant actors. Watched him on West Wing. Just amazing. And on the way over, I was like, hey, do you want to run through it a couple times? Like, just, you know, I'm good, but like, if you want to, because I'm like, I kind of wanted to see, like, you know.
What's he going
to
give me?
Yeah, and maybe I can give him a note and he'll be like, you know, because like there have been times.
You just see it, David.
Yeah,
like, not many people see it.
It's weird.
I always say to Jason, I'm like, let David work the auditions
with
you.
I want to work with him so much.
Jason's just, you know, he grew up like child actor, insular. Like, you know, Jason's the opposite where it's what, like, you know, he has this pattern that he's in where, you know, nobody at school could know that he was acting and he just has to be alone in his own. And then when I come in, he's like, you've ruined it.
Whoa. It's all on his own. Like, it's all by himself.
All by himself. Everything.
Wow.
Which I think is so
I think we would have
crazy.
So much fun.
I know.
Oh, I think we'd have so much fun. There's been a lot of times where I've tried to connect with him and I worry that he's mad at me.
That you were wearing his bathrobe?
I'm worried that he thinks, oh, something definitely happened. They're just not saying
no,
it. I'm worried that, like, and I wore his bathrobe because, like, it was a nice robe.
It was so cute on you.
Yeah, it felt great.
I mean, you guys are, like, basically the same size.
Yeah,
so I felt like you could rock all his things.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that. I think that Jason, I don't know what Jason's, Jason loves you. Jason's just so lone wolf with his acting.
Yeah, Yeah, and that served
him. He never
went
to acting school. He never did classes.
Yeah. So maybe he has a little bit of like that in him, like he where he feels like, oh, I this is my thing. I can't bring, like, I have a certain way of doing this. And if I don't do it my way, then I'm not going to be as good and I won't be as accepted. Like, I don't really know. But like, there is, especially when you do it when you're a kid and you have success as a kid, like, you've been rewarded for doing it this way.
Right.
So why would you do any?
He's like, I have my routine. Yes. Yeah. Like, everybody leave me the fuck alone.
Yeah. Why
and
would
when
you
were
it?
Made fun of for being like, in tap classes and doing like Burger King commercials.
Yeah, dancing and singing and like having the earrings.
Yeah,
and the different,
he wasn't in sports.
Yeah. I mean, that's his identity.
Right.
And it's hard for me, like when I sprained my ankle, like playing pickleball or whatever, like my identity is so much as like being an athlete. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm not an athlete. Like, who am I?
Who am I now?
Like, how can I, what value do I provide in this world if I can't go out there and like beat people and stuff?
And kill it.
Yeah.
What about Kane? Like, is Kane an athlete or an actor?
So I put him in everything.
Okay.
Like I coached his football. I coached his baseball. Like he played basketball. I was a soccer coach. Like I put him in everything. And he didn't really take to it. Like he tried very hard. And I was like, maybe this isn't his thing. It was hard for me to admit that. Cause I was like, I can coach him. Like he can get, like I know that if he puts in enough hours, like look at me. Like if you put in enough hours,
you're like
you can
David Beckham's dad. You're do it again.
Gosh, yes. I wanted to be that. And after like age 7, age 8, I was like, David, are you doing this for you? Or are you doing this for him?
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing it for me. Because I knew being a good athlete, I got attention. I got attention from like pretty girls. I got attention from the cool guys. I got attention from people in town. And high school was fun for me. Like I felt good walking through the halls knowing I scored the game winning touchdown. Like it felt good. So like I just wanted that for him. Mm. In my mind, I thought that's what I want for him. But really it was like, he's not living your life. He's living his life. And like, he doesn't love it as much as you loved it. So it took a lot for me to take a step back and stop coaching and then just attend. And then stop yelling when you're attending. Just attend. Just be a dad. You know,
it's so
like,
hard
why
not to scream.
You know, so he stuck with running and he became like a really good cross country runner. And he had like schools offer him scholarships and stuff. But he was always a student. He started like a film society at Santa Monica High School. So like we would, whenever he'd come over, we would always watch movies. Like we got this big poster, like the 100 best movies. And we would like scratch them off. And like we would watch maybe one or two movies every weekend. So like, it was a big part of like me seeing that he liked what it was that I was doing, even though he wouldn't let me know that.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't come to set with me. Like he wouldn't run lines with me.
Right.
Like he would have a play that he was doing and I'm like, you wanna work on it?
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad, no, I got it. And I'm like, well, let's just, and he's like, no, I got it.
Oh, interesting.
So like I never ran.
You've never coached him?
No, not one time, not one time. Yeah.
Is he a theater major?
He wants to be, he's film and writing. He's a film major.
And he's at Berkeley.
He's at Berkeley, yeah.
Which, I mean, you killed it as a parent.
I guess
your child is going to Berkeley.
Yeah,
like, what a success story.
Yeah, pretty amazing. And to study film and TV. Because, like, I still kind of thought that it was something he was doing for fun.
Uh-huh.
Like, he did the play and he did the musicals and he sang and, you know, did all that stuff. But he wasn't doing it with me. And his senior year, I don't know if it was his last play or his second to last play, but he asked me, he was like, Dad, what'd you think? And I had made this mistake before, so I knew not to make the mistake again. I was like, well, what do you want me to say? Like, so he's like, no, I was like, well, do you want me to tell you what I loved about it? Or do you want me to like, maybe tell you what I would probably change? And he was like, he's like, can you tell me what you loved about it first? And I'm like, of course. And I got to where I was just telling him what I loved about it. And then I realized that like, oh, he's not doing this again. So why would I tell him what to change?
Right.
Like just check in with him and see how he's feeling. So as I was saying all these things that I loved about it, I was like, what did you love about it? Like, what did you, and then I was like, he really loves this. And I don't need to tell him that he should have like not as responded so big whenever, you know, like that, what if that's not going to help at all. Like the fact that he asked me and the fact that we had this moment, I was like, this is cool.
Yes.
And I didn't know that he was going to study film. Like he was applying to all these film schools, But I was like,
but this is great for you because now if he becomes a huge filmmaker, you will always work.
Yes. It's so funny because
it's like the Eugene Levy thing.
Yeah. That's exactly right. His family like gave him his career back. But
it kept him in the game.
Yes, it did. Oh, thriving now. It is so funny because like he had written a short film that I was like, all right, bud, let's go shoot it.
Yeah.
Let's go make this. And he's like, no, Dad, I got it. And I'm like, business is hard.
Right.
Like, let people help you.
Yes.
I didn't have the help, so please let me help. Yeah. And he just he doesn't want me to do it. He doesn't want me to help him. Like, he'll send stuff to me that he's written, and he'll ask me, you know, for stuff, and I'll give him a couple notes, and he'll rewrite. And it's like,
I think he and Sid Biggs need to like get together and make some shit.
I would love that. Oh, I would love that. He's just a freshman there now, but he's like, Dad, I think I'm gonna do 2 years, and then I'm gonna take some time off and work on my buddy's dad's TV show. And I'm like, hold on, your friend has a dad who has a TV show? What do you
Should
mean
I
he
work
has?
There too?
Yeah, exactly. I was like, are they hiring? So he thinks he's gonna get like a writing assistant job on this TV show that he won't tell me what it is.
Oh my God.
And I'm like, what? That, you know, that's not how it works, but that's definitely how it works.
Like, for
you
sure.
Meet somebody at school. Who's
yeah.
Parents, so. I'm like, but why didn't you let me?
I'm going to do everything to help him.
Yes,
and he's going to probably let me.
Yes. Yeah, he will. He will. So he's good.
Oh, I'm so happy for you.
Yeah, he's good. It feels, I'm finally in a place where I'm like, okay, everything's okay.
Yeah, everything's
good.
Okay.
Like,
I did all right. You did so good.
Yeah.
And you're still thriving.
Thank you. Yeah, it's still hard to believe or accept that sometimes because of the spells without work.
Of course.
And I still... You know, I've had maybe 10 auditions in the last month or two, and it's like, really? Nothing? Like,
oh my God.
How? And now, I mean, you're still very much a part of it, but like, we send these tapes in, and I don't even know who's watching them.
Right.
Like,
and
the casting directors and directors and stuff are just inundated now because now everybody's an actor. Now everybody has a camera, and nobody's in rooms. Like, we would get job in rooms because
people
would see
you
how
had
cool
to...
we are. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I just want to be around that person. Like, their read
and
was whatever.
We didn't get more than one take.
No,
we were just fucking like, here's the audition.
Yeah, here it is. But like the
now
little...
Now you can just record over and over
time
again.
Time and time again.
Unreal.
And it's like, well, are you hiring the best actor or are you just hiring the person who has put together the best tape?
No, because and like, I've literally watched this now like so many times where I just say to Jason, acting is luck. Like, people really need to understand. If you're good, you will, like, end up in the right places.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, who gets the role, it's all luck.
All luck.
I've been on the other side.
Yeah,
it's
all luck.
It's so random.
Yeah. And you don't know whose girlfriend is watching a tape or whose buddy and whose neighbor's like, oh, I like that
person.
Or
whose wife's like, no, that girl fucked over my friend David.
Yes,
she's not going anywhere in this town.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's so much. But, like, you know, you do have to have the skill, and you do have to be willing to dedicate so much of yourself to
it. And you
are. Because it is so lucky.
Yeah.
Like, you have to dedicate everything to it. And it's just not, some people aren't cut out for it. And I think now, like, with the generation of TikTokers and YouTubers and everything, like, having all this fame and all this success, like, I don't think a lot of people understand how rare that is, just, like, in that one aspect of entertainment. Like, that's not what all entertainment is. But I have a feeling that, like, it's giving people like this skewed idea of what it's like to be a successful actor because they're not really actors. They're like personalities, you know?
Yes.
And I don't want to call myself a purist, but like I do feel like I'm kind of falling behind a little bit because I'm not keeping up with all that. I'm just like, no, I want a good audition to get me the job.
Oh, because you're not on social?
Yeah, I need to get better at that.
You've got to get better at social. Just so that I can stay in touch with you.
I know, I do.
Because I can't, like, see you every 4 years and, like, just burst into tears.
I know. That was so sweet.
I love you. I'm so grateful that you did this.
Me too.
This interview meant so much to me.
Was this entertaining? Like, did we do a good job? Did I do a good job?
Like,
I was nervous. I was so nervous.
Crushed my soul.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
It was amazing.
Okay, good.
I love you so much, deeply.
When you reached out to me, I was like, maybe she just needs some help. Maybe I like
oh
come set up.
Oh my God.
Yeah, when
see,
you, first
you always
asked
go
me,
to that place.
It
can't possibly be for me.
I was like, oh, I can help set up some lights. Like, I wonder who she's having on. And then,
God.
Like, when your assistant reached out to me, I'm like, it's me. Like, she's having me on. All right, cool.
No, you're
like,
the fucking guest.
I know.
You're the headliner.
In my mind, though, I'm just like, yeah. Okay.
No, let me just tell you, like, as this interview is going, I was like, fuck, all the other ones we've done, this has to come out like immediately.
Oh, well, this is, it was amazing. So fun. This is so Love fun. You. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.